part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
Look up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's...
This is Jason J. Lewis, the voice of Superman on Justice League Action.
This is Mark Waid, writer of Superman Birdlight, and you're listening to The Krypton Report.
Happy Halloween, Krypton reporters. As we go into this episode in the season, I want to point out a couple of things from my personal just thought. I made this comment on a previous episode of Requel, but I would like to just kind of state it here. Halloween is a holiday that has a cultural touchstone to it. Halloween and horror are not a one-to-one ratio. So just because something is like horror related, it's not really Halloween. The holiday itself has rituals, imagery, and is about spirituality, you know, going back to the Druids, the Celts. There's Egyptian, Japanese, all these other cultural tie-ins that bring forth what our modern day Halloween is. And one of my problems is recently in past, like there was DC specials that were like, Halloween of horror, and like these book collections that I would read, and it would always be just like some horror story, you know, and I'm like, that's not Halloween to me. Now, granted, I do say this, just because of how things have in culture have grown, but like Monster Mash and stuff like that, I do think of Halloween a little bit with the Universal classic monsters.
In 2 miles, keep left onto US 35 west toward Dayton.
And that's because of growing up with the monster marathons, growing up with, like they said, Count Chocula cereal and other things like that, that really helps cement the monsters as part of the spooky season, horror season. But like I said, horror is not a one-to-one ratio to Halloween. Horrible things, horror happens on Halloween, but it is something to kind of keep in the back of your mind when I talk about things. So let's get into this special Halloween edition episode of the Krypton Report, in which you will get to hear from different voices at different times as we kind of patchwork our special treats for you. All right, welcome to this Halloween special of the Krypton Report, and we're going to be looking at Teen Titans Go. We're going to pick three scary episodes. The first episode we have is picked by the amazing Miss Sayla. You want to say something? And it is Costume Contest. The 40th episode of the fourth season of Teen Titans Go, and the 197th overall episode of the series. Tired of losing to the Hive Five, every year the Titans hatch a scheme to win the costume contest. So we'll be right back with our thoughts on the episode. And we're back. All right, guys, what did you think of that episode?
It was a good episode. Honestly, it was hilarious because Titans is like The Titans became the Hive, so they like had the powers in their costumes, and then the Hive became the Titans, but they had the powers in their costumes. It doesn't make sense, and it was crazy.
My favorite part was that Birdarang was the host. They were talking to a Birdarang. Yeah. To a Birdarang, Sayla.
It's personification. If you don't know what personification is, it means. They, like,
wow.
Batteries can't do that.
That was a big word.
Dad, what's your biggest organ?
I don't know. What?
What's the biggest organ?
Well, answer.
So
his is his foot.
Okay.
No, you both getting it wrong.
What is it?
The biggest organ is your skin.
Oh, you're right. Okay, so that one was creepy. It's a great Halloween one. What'd you think, Sayla?
Yeah.
Was creepy. Next one, they went to hide. Not tower. That's kind of creepy.
All right. Yeah, it was. My favorite part was when they thought the fake prisoner was a prisoner, but really, it was Aqualad.
Yeah.
All right. To the sheet, Solomon. Now, choose the next episode of Teen Titans Go.
You can't choose Cosmic. I'm going to go with the scary figurine dance.
What? What is it?
The scary figurine dance.
Wow. Okay, hold on. Let's pull it up. All right. Scary figure dance is the 13th episode of the third season. It's 117th overall. The Titans' Halloween party is interrupted by High Five robbing a candy factory after the battle. Its major shift, very strange things start to happen around Hive Tower. All right, let's go.
Dad, that does not look like one.
All right, so that was awesome. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's Halloween night. Robin's dressed as a wolf, werewolf, which was awesome. Cyborg was what?
He was a
vampire. Raven was a witch.
And then Beast Boy was a pumpkin.
Yeah.
And Starfire was a cat.
Yeah, no,
and then what happens is they get exploded by the bomb. Go.
Yeah, they literally die and get exploded to just so they can turn into ghosts.
For the Hive.
To haunt Hive. The High Five.
It's like the, actually, the dumbest plan for the Hive.
Because you literally die.
Yeah. And then what happens is Hive actually make sure the hospital brings them back to life so they're not ghosts anymore. What would you rate that one?
Maybe 8.
Ten. I'd go 10. What would you rate the first one?
The first one? 10.
Yeah, nine.
10.
Okay.
Right. I mean, I'll probably get
the... All right, so we're going to do my episode now. I choose Monster Squad, the 8th episode of Season 5.
Monster Squad.
And it states, the Titans want to be the scariest trick-or-treaters in town, so Raven casts a spell to turn them into real monsters. Oh, snap.
Is it on here?
Here we go. All right, Monster Squad. What'd you think?
It was really good. I mean, when the Titans... when the Titans become, like, monsters, they're like...
Yeah, so they dressed up in crappy homemade, like, crappy costumes, and then Raven turned them into the real monsters.
Like...
The mummy.
Starfire was a mummy.
But it was hilarious, because she...
She mixed up mommy and mummy together, what happened. Boo! Boo! Boo, boo!
And then, Robin was Dracula. Ooh. Cyborg was Frankenstein.
He was Frankenstein, but what did he call himself, Sayla?
Carl. And then, Beast Boy was a wolf. And then,
Raven was
an invisible lady.
They're like, that's not scary. Then she punches them all, and they're like, okay, that's scary. I like when Beast Boy was doing they were doing their scary, scary song. And he was like, that's werewolf poo. I poop right there. And Red Riding Hood stepped in it.
And then, Starfire farted.
I like, you know, my love for the classic monsters.
What?
So I like this one.
But there's not me, but the favorite.
What? Oh, I know. No creature from the black again. No Gill Man for you guys in that one.
Gill Man! Why could Beast Boy be Gill Man?
So, what would you rate that one, kid?
His name was Creature Back Again. His name is Creature Back.
What would you rate that one?
I rate that one a 10.
Yeah, it's 10. All right. Well, happy Halloween from us.
And we went to trick or treating today, and my costume was Michelangelo.
I also want to know, you guys, we will do some more Teen Titans, shows. I mean, like
coming up
and stuff like that.
Okay, Solomon, what was your Halloween costume?
My Halloween costume was Blue Beetle.
All right, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
What's up, everybody? Chase Smith here from the Chase Smith Podcast and Cavs on the Break NBA Podcast.
And I'm JD, host of the Hyman Podcast, part of the Press Play Podcast Network. And we are super excited to bring you a brand new show starting next Tuesday, the Fanfare Podcast.
The Fanfare Podcast is all about your favorite movies and our favorite movies and the best moments in cinema. To help guide our discussion, each episode will feature one classic, and we will grade this movie using a report card like scale A through F. We're going to be grading categories like acting, directing, cinematography, the score, and even the movie poster itself.
And when we're not featuring a movie report card, we'll be sharing our movie rankings, franchise deep dives, actor and director interviews, and everything in between. Movies have been a major part of our lives, and we cannot wait to share our thoughts with you.
Our premiere episode will drop Tuesday, June 27th, and JD and I will be reviewing Raiders of the Lost Ark in preparation of the release of Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny on June 30th, the fifth installment of the franchise.
Join us on the Fanfare Podcast, available on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Hello, Brooks here with the Books with Brooks monthly book club podcast. Here's how Books with Brooks works. We read one book a month, and then we talk about it. Classics like Stephen King's The Shining, debut novels like We Are the Brennans by Tracy Lang, and tons of other compelling, life-changing stories, one book and one month at a time. So come read along with us, and then listen in.
Here at Krypton Report, we believe in the power of podcasting, the power of speaking your voice and speaking something that comes from you. So here's a couple of podcasts you can check out with people sharing their voice.
I am Brian Peters, the creator and host of Gravely Amusing. For the past 30 years, I've studied the history of gods and monsters in pop culture and our world. As a student of theology and history, I've tried to understand evil and its impact on us. As a writer, I've tried to share this knowledge. As a comedian, I've tried to make people laugh as I do it. But as a man-child, I'm still that scared 7-year-old boy. Join me as I share the history of horror and sci-fi, discuss classic and modern pop culture, and share a creepy story or two. This podcast may scare you, it may horrify you, or it may leave you gravely amused. Listen to Gravely Amusing on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and wherever podcasts are found. Follow us on Twitter at @gravely_amusing or on TikTok at @gravelyamusing.
Hi, I'm Taria Maynard, and this is my co-host, Jania Patrick. We're a couple of sisters in Central Ohio who created a podcast. Our podcast is called The Confessing Heretics.
The basic premise of the podcast right now, as we see it, is we're going to talk to you guys about our stories in religion, would you say?
Mm-hmm. This podcast is about sharing our truths, our religious traumas, and our histories. We'd love for you to join us on our journeys as we talk about our pasts and discover more about ourselves along the way. We will be featured on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Just look for The Confessing Heretics.
We have a $1 Patreon. Yes, I know everyone asks for money, but our $1 Patreon each month gets you commentary tracks for recent movies, DC movies. It gets you my requel series where I pitch ideas about movie sequels, prequels, or whatever. It also gets special bonus episodes of whatever else some of the friends of the network chime in and drop. So check that out for $1 a month. That's all we ask. Keep it cheap, keep it simple, and help us keep going. Check out the link in the show notes or Patreon, Krypton Report.
Follow the link in the link tree or in the show notes below, patreon.com/KryptonReport.
This is Dan Jurgens, and if you want to have a good time, keep listening to the Krypton Report.
So as I was preparing for this Halloween read, I was searching for comic books that would work for this. And I was like, Superman and Halloween, that would be cool. And sometimes it's very difficult to find anything, but we did find a few. And the first one up is very, very interesting. It's one that I didn't even know happened. As you know, I have a love for the classic Universal Monsters. And you'd heard me speak with it with Brian over at Gravely Amusing. And Brian loves the classic Universal Monsters. So when I found this on the app, he was very shocked. He had not read this, nor knew about it. So it's called The Superman Monster, number 1. Written by Andy Lanning Dan Abnett, pencils by Anthony Williams, inks Tom Palmer, cover by Tom Palmer and Anthony Williams. This was released October 6, 1999. An Elseworlds classic. In 1880 Switzerland, promising science student Victor Luther is expelled from the university for his experiments in the creation of life. Wandering the forest near his home, he comes upon the discovery of a lifetime, a vessel from another world whose cargo provided him with both a second chance and a terrifying fate. Luther's bizarre resurrected creation possesses powers beyond that of mortal men, but with the world except this strange being. So basically, it's Mary Shelley's Frankenstein done with Superman. And this is a book that I'm going to hunt down and track down and find to actually have a paper copy. This book was so amazing and so great. This is one of the reasons I love the app, is because it, you know, gave me the ability to find something. This is just a one-shot that, you know, probably I would never find. Maybe in the quarter sales if my old comic shop did it. But so the story opens, much like the framing of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. But it is Perry White at the home of James Gordon. Or, hold on, let me reverse that, I think. No, it's James Gordon and Perry White, I'm sorry, in the Iceberg Lounge, talking to his old friends, and he begins telling the story, Perry does, of Victor Luther. Victor Luther, we learn, you know, is expelled from the university. He doesn't want to marry his the woman that loves him, Eloise. He only wants her dowry. And the father sees through that, will not let him marry her. So he does find the rocket that lands, and inside is the dead baby Kal-El. But Jor-El appears in a way and basically teaches Luthor and remakes basically a matrix chamber. He does use some body parts from other people. He kills the grave robber. He talks about following the revival matrix and basically brings together It Lives, its monster. It comes out in an all-black Superman suit. It has the shield and everything. Saves him. The fire doesn't hurt him, but of course Luther turns on the monster, and the monster goes through the same kind of machinations as the story. He saves some people. Eloise sees him, realizes something's good inside him. He escapes and finds, instead of the blind old man, he finds the Kants. The Kants, Johann and Martha, who just recently lost their son, Klaus. He saves Johann from a bear attack, and the man takes him in and begins to teach him, feed him, and you see the transformation from the horrible monster he once was to something good. And they name him Klaus after their son. And he works on the farm until he's discovered by Luther, who is raised a mob and arrives with a green crystal that he got. Of course he does. Shooting Johann. Killing Johann, and then Martha alive, burns her alive. While Klaus, you know, tries to save them, it's too late because of the kryptonite. During Luther's betrothal, Klaus Clark, Superman, the monster, arrives, and Luther begins shooting him. A bullet bounces off, killing Eloise. Luther's best friend, his name is, ready, Olaf, James Olafus, Olafson. And James sees what Luther is doing, basically creating Eloise as the bride. James finds Klaus
in the basement with the kryptonite, takes it off of him, realizing that he can stop this. Eloise returns, recognizing that she is a monster that Victor made. And Superman shows up and says, "The pain will pass, trust me. You will be whole again." She looks at him and says, "I trust you." And together, he holds her. He says, "Let me save you again." She says, "Yes." He kisses her, holds her, and flies out. Then we cut away back to Gordon and Perry. And they're talking about how they discovered Luther in the ice going crazy, and this is how the story was told to Perry. But then it shows that Luther dies, and then Superman shows up. He's all sparkling, and it shows that he's evolved and he has healed more in the ice. He takes Luther's body, but uses his heat vision to free the ship, and then flies off. At the end, Gordon says he doesn't believe any of it, and then Perry makes a joke about trying to believe that bat story, and then they part ways. The end. It makes me wonder, I'm looking on here, I haven't searched, if there is more of a Batman slash Dracula version, if there was like a whole run where they did with this. I just know that I now have a book to actually search for that I want to have a physical copy of. So, The Superman Monster, Happy Halloween, check it out.
Happy Halloween. Ooh. Boo. Happy Halloween. Boo. From Krypton Report. It is I, your host, the Superman of Blue, lightning sounds, and the Superman of Red, other lightning sounds. James Cole, what's up, man?
What's going on? What's up, Tyler?
Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. So what has been your Halloween plan so far this festive season? Anything special with the kids?
We got some trunk or treats to go to, and trick or treating.
So, as we record this,
two-year-old out trick or treating.
That's how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
We record this early to have the to you wonderful people on the great Samhain night, and so today officially kicked off what I'm calling Halloween week. We had a trunk or treat today. Which is Tuesday. Tomorrow, Wednesday, is another trunk or treat. Thursday is the school. Their school does a trunk or treat.
No way.
Friday, we're going to do, I think, just activities at the house. We don't have anything at the moment. Saturday, we are going to the comic book store's Halloween festivities. And then we're going to see Nightmare Before Christmas in theaters at our local theater that I work with. Sunday is Boo at the Zoo in the morning, and then my in-laws do a haunted trail for the kids in the woods in their house. So we're doing that Sunday night. Then Monday we're going to do some activities in pumpkin carving, watch Halloween movies and pumpkin carve. And then, of course, next Tuesday is trick-or-treat. So there we go.
Well, that is a very busy, sounds like a very busy and very fun Halloween week.
I mean, the thing is, the kids just get thrilled wearing costumes and going out. It's not.
I was gonna say, they wear them all the time.
Yeah, I mean, they do. It's kind of just the thrill of like being out in your costume and being like with other people and being outside and doing something, you know?
Absolutely.
The candy's fun, but it's not like the biggest thing about it. So
yeah.
So yeah, we try to maximize it, you know what I'm saying? Like this year that the vocational school that's like 2 miles from the house was doing a trunk or treat, because usually we do downtown Circleville business trick or treat, but we decided to not do it this year for reasons, and did that trunk or treat instead. So it was cool. It also gives the kids like the opportunity if they want to wear different costumes and save their main costumes, but the kids tonight wore their main costumes. So, but I think Sayla's going to change up her mask for tomorrow night.
Cool, cool.
We also went hunting for the McDonald's pails.
Oh yeah.
All we can find is a dang mummy. We pulled up to one And I asked her, and she said, oh, we only have two of them. I said, cool. Well, I'm ordering three Happy Meals. I originally was going to order, you know, because I wanted to get three pails. I was like, can we have a different one? She said, sure. We pulled around. We all three got the mummy. I went today to get one just to see if I could get something to give the kids. That blasted mummy again.
Dang.
I know. I think I know a McDonald's that has the purple witch or purple vampire. I'm going to try. But
yeah, good luck.
The least one that I wanted is the one I get. And they're cool, but they also kind of suck too because, like, in our day, they had a lid. You know, these right. don't have a lid. So,
just an open pail, huh?
Yeah. But we got some stuff to talk about tonight.
Yeah.
So,
Halloween stuff.
DC every year puts out like a horror book, Halloween-esque thing. And in years past, there's been ones that I've read that I'm like, I didn't like because they were just like horror stories, not Halloween stories. And this year's was not bad. It was a little bit of both.
Yeah.
So we're going to review that. And then we're going to talk about the Silver Banshee and Superman special that I discovered last year that literally is a Superman story that takes place on Halloween night.
Yes, sir.
This is the stuff that I love the app for. Stuff that's kind of, it's small that people don't really remember or bring back up that you discover because of the app.
Right. Yeah, that access, you know.
So this is a book that I'm probably going to start trying to see if I can find in conventions and stuff. So let's begin with the more recent Ghouls book. Ghouls, say like Adam Driver.
From DC Ghouls just want to have fun.
That movie that he did that was weird and not that great. That had an amazing cast. I'm talking about Ghouls. But Ghouls just want to have fun. Or otherwise known as James. James's stories.
I do want to have fun.
He does. I can't wait to have the app and like this year and then reading the Christmas specials. Because that's going to be fun. But I'm getting it to load. It's being a butt munch. Because I hate that it like doesn't... Like, no, I don't want to resume my issue. I want to start over. Like, you know, like there's no like start over button. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right. I mean, you can go to the page... Yeah, count and go back to one if it'll load.
Yeah, if it'll load.
Once in a while, you have some issues. I'm not sure if that's exactly the app. Or
here we go. Ghouls just want to have fun. The question in A Look to Die For, written by Ellen Tremonti. Art, color, and letters by Tyler Kroc. Green Lantern in The Shadow Over Coast City, written by Kenny Porter. Art by Riley Rasmus. Animal Man in The Day Anything Goes, written by Michael G. Conrad. Art by Christopher Mitten. Nightwing in The Dark Bite, written by Christopher Sean and Linnea. Art by Dexter Soy. Superman in The Spoils, written by Greg Burnham. Color and art by Javier Rodriguez. Robot Man in Not Fade Away by Alex Galler. Crush and Lobo in Happy Hallow Loboween, written by Adam F. Goldberg and Hans Rodinoff. Art by Danny Earls. Man-Bat in and Out of the Shadows, written by John Arcodia. Art by Sean McManus. All right. I also want to point out, you know those awesome covers for Halloween where like it looks like the DCs are kids in costumes?
Or maybe
DC has officially put those on shirts to sell. And I'm like, how are you going to do that days before Halloween?
Oh, yeah, because their shipping takes forever.
Yeah. I ordered some stuff. I got it a month later. So if I bought they went on sale yesterday. If I bought them yesterday, I'd be lucky if I got it before Halloween.
Yeah.
I might buy it and have it for next year.
Right. Well, this one time I bought some shirts.
That's how bad it was. James had to disappear and didn't respond.
Yeah, sorry. Stupid echo. All right.
It's all Jamie's fault.
It is Jamie's fault.
Trying to keep us apart. She won't let us podcast.
Anyways.
You turned him against me.
I think some shirts I ordered came in a timely fashion, but some other things I ordered, there was one order I'm sure I waited at least 3 months for.
All right, that wins.
I almost canceled the order.
By that time, I think you just forget you ordered something, then it shows up, and you're like, all right, cool, I bought myself something. All right, so we'll start with the first story, the question and a look to die for. James, what did you think of this one?
It was interesting. I mean, I kind of liked Montoya doing the question thing. Just the way the mystery unfolded. And it's funny how even at a fashion show they had nth metal fashion. Mm-hmm. Which kind of worked out in her favor.
It was interesting with Professor Pig and Gentleman Ghost. And
yeah, that was a wild pairing. I didn't see that pairing coming. That one was kind of out of the blue.
But this one was just one that I'm like, okay, this is okay. Like, I don't really know why that's in here, but okay.
Yeah. Pig's always a creepy character, though. And yes. you team up a creepy character with a ghost, and it makes for an interesting Halloween story, at least.
Yeah.
Fits the bill.
I mean, kind of, but... I mean, it worked, I guess, but... Is that a fashion show?
Yeah.
The next one is we're in Sector 2814, Coast City, California, USA, with Green Lantern and Jason Blood.
Yes. gone, the form of man. Arise the demon, Etrigan.
This one was just crazy. I didn't know what was going on half the time. It was like they're fighting something, Etrigan shows up, and then they're fighting this giant purple monster.
Yeah, so, I mean, they didn't really, like, identify what this creature is, but they did what it does, and just by banishing it from this world, everything will turn back to normal. So, I mean, they laid out the stakes right away, and they got into it. Riley Rothsmo, his art is not usually my favorite, but in this issue or in this story with the demonic magic and the hellfire and Green Lantern's ring, it kind of fit the bill. You know, it really looked like a animated cartoon going on.
It did.
So.
It did. Yeah, this one was okay. Like, I was like two stories into this, and I'm just kind of like, oh, man. Like, once again, I'm not feeling it, you know? Mm-hmm. Then we get to the next one, and I like the next one.
Me as well.
We have Maxine being picked on at school. She's Animal Man's daughter. And she's talking to her therapist. And then I just like seeing, you know, them at bed, like later, bedtime at the Baker house. Trick-or-treating alone, Maxine's just a bit young to be out there without supervision. That's the thing. I'll be out there, too. I can keep an eye on her. And my favorite line is when they're talking and he says, she's a good kid, mature. Even tonight, she went right to bed. No issues. Our little girl's going up. She's smart and capable. Just like her mom. And then she says, you know, for a vegan, you're the cheesiest person I know, Buddy Baker.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a cute line in the issue.
You know, and I just liked that it's the 6:37 p.m. the following day, Halloween. They're actually trick-or-treating, you know? You see kids dressed up, and she's dressed up as a cat, and he's going out, and he says, as you wish, you know?
Yep.
We see him using his animal spirits.
Yep, wearing his Animal Man costume. I like it. It's been a minute. I got to cut back on the carbs. Suit's a little tighter than he remembers.
I will admit, like, I know of Animal Man and, like, the red. If you watch Titans, you'll get tired of hearing the red in one episode of Titans. But I never really read an Animal Man comic or gotten into any Animal Man stuff. So there's that.
Right.
But I like, you know, they see some kids and they're like, run, it's her, it's the witch. And he's like, he's looking and he's watching them. And then he sees one of the kids is getting bullied. And they were gonna egg and TP a house. No, sorry. It says the previous evening. I missed that.
And it's like, yeah,
on Devil's Night. You know, the night you should watch The Crow. Anyways. And we've seen that there she is. She's out there and she has all of her animal spirits, but they all look like dead zombies. Raccoons, rabbits. And she goes, thanks. I'm Bobby. I'm Maxine, but sometimes I go by Animal Girl. And then the next night we see her as like a skeleton thing and him as a magician out trick-or-treating together. And they catch her dad and they're like, what is that? I don't know. And the funniest part that took me a minute to read was that Buddy gets egged. You just get suck egg, old man.
Yeah.
And he's like, how dare you? And he pulls out a gorilla spirit.
Yeah, I really like this story. I like how he's out there watching his daughter running fast like a fox across the yard, leaping over the fence like a frog, hiding in the bushes like a chameleon.
Doing what every parent wishes they could do.
Yeah, hovering in the sky like a bird.
Or a plane.
Yeah. But I like that, like, he's just watching over his daughter, but, like, she can handle things, you know? Like, people weren't even messing with her. She made a friend. And, I love he gets egged. And then he roars at them, and they all run away.
It's great.
Yeah, that was a good story. Really picked up there in this issue for me.
Yeah, like, this is the one where I was like, okay, that's a Halloween story, you know? They're out trick-or-treating, things happen. Like, I was okay, I'm cool with that. Not just, hey, we're going to be like a horror story, you know? So I was good. I was happy now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where it really picked up for me in this issue. And then I liked pretty much all of it the rest of the way. I mean, the last one with Batman we'll get to.
So the next one's the Nightwing one. And this one I liked. But this one to me felt more like, is there a follow-up? Is there more to this? Like, there's just some guy running around out there? Like, or someone's turning people into vampires?
Right. Well, Red Hood does deal with some more of the supernatural elements that the rest of the Bat family doesn't always get into. He was in the, I think, the Task Force Z books. So I think he's kind of more, you know, in that monster realm per the Bat family.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm behind on, like, all my extensive Bat family books. But I like seeing Nightwing and Red Hood together, because he hits him with a dart that says demon, nope, shoots a vampire dart, you know, werewolf dart, everything he can at him.
Yeah, some sort of at least like monster tranquilizer, you know, tranquilize or transform them back from their monster state.
You know, out of everyone who's done like the drawing, I think Jason Todd's difficult to draw. I'm glad he's back to wearing like the helmet as the Red Hood.
Yeah, that I'm not sure of. Last Red Hood issue I wore, he had the hood and the scorpion mask on.
Yeah, I don't like that. I like the helmet. I think the best, my favorite artist to do Jason Todd was Fabok in Three Jokers, because he just found a way to make Jason his own person to where I didn't spend half the time thinking he looked like somebody else.
Yeah. Like a kind of a clone of Dick.
Dick clone, yes.
Yeah.
Jason was all about those.
Well, when you gotta clone it, you gotta clone it. Superman in the spoils.
Yeah, I like this one. This was cool.
Yeah, I like this one too. It was interesting. It almost seemed like he was being like lured. Like the ghost was expecting him, and like, so did people come and die by the ghost's hands before Superman arrived? You know, at different Halloweens past. Maybe. I was curious, yeah.
I like the art. It's very, it's in that, like, I don't want to diminish the art by Javier here, but it's very much in a similar wheelhouse to, like, a Darwin Cook, Cliff, was it Cliff Cho?
Yeah. That's what I was thinking, like a New Frontier look.
Yeah, I love it. I'm not trying to diminish his work, but I really like it.
Yeah, I liked it as well. He shows up at this old abandoned prison, talks about the... he's on the phone with Lois in his ear and talking to her about the warden being this philanthropist. And
good dude.
Yeah. Yeah, this like humanitarian almost. And then Superman gets attacked by this demonic monster, lots of faces and stuff like in its arms and everything. But the monster realizes, and you get a monologue from the monster. And he lures Superman to where he to his trophy room, where he has trophies from all the people he killed in the prison, being the warden, philanthropist.
Skulls and their pulled teeth. There's pictures of him like holding their heads. He's got hair samples. I only pray that by revealing my offenses, you and your families will have closure, and at last your weary souls can possibly pass. So we see the monster, like all the souls leave it and just leave the warden, and like in the last page, Clark Kent looks very much like Dick Tracy.
Yeah,
and he still sees the spirit of the warden, who looks like Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah, my victim souls have moved on by exposing myself and my crimes. I hoped I'd be allowed to pass on too, yet I am still here. There's no liberation for a soul as despicable as mine. It would seem I'm cursed to haunt these halls forever. Yeah, it was interesting, you know. Let all the victims, even though they were prisoners, they were all murdered and by a serial killer. And his ghost is the only one left to roam the halls of the prison. He's no longer tormented by all those he killed.
The next one is Not Fade Away with Robot Man from the Doom Patrol. Excuse me.
Yeah.
What did you think of this one?
I actually thought this one was interesting. It all read in like Brendan Fraser's voice. Right? Like, Jesus, Kate.
Yep.
Yeah, it was really interesting, though. Like, I love how he snapped a picture with his phone. So he's like, you're not real. Like, I can prove it's not real. But all the ghosts of people who were in the Doom Patrol and people he's worked with haunting him. Cliff Steele, Kate Godwin, Dorothy Spinner, Joshua Clay, Misu Kwan, Scott Fisher, Shailene Lau, Wayne Hawkins, Theodore Bruder. A bunch of ghosts haunting him.
Yeah.
I love that Constantine shows up at the end and he says, it's Tyne, mate, not teen. So Constantine it is.
That's funny. Janine and I just dropped on our Patreon. We watched Constantine with Keanu Reeves, which I made very explicitly clear that that's Constantine.
Yes.
Constantine is when it's British.
Right. Yeah. It was really good, though. This is go away, because he's asking Constantine's help to help him get rid of the ghosts, the spirits that are haunting him. He says, they ain't ever going away. Some things you just got to learn to live with. It ain't easy, but it does get better. I swear it.
And then I like how you saw people like dressed up as the Doom Patrol,
like around. Yeah.
But yeah, the Constantine showing up and just the ghost behind both of them was good. And the fact he's not wearing his jacket threw me off. I'm like, wait. So
the next one, yeah, he's just got it draped over his shoulder.
The Crush and Lobo Halloween one. I thought it was interesting. I don't know much about Crush, but just how Lobo is, you know, trying on all these different costumes.
And yeah. Then
eventually he settles on Aquaman.
And then this story.
King Shark.
Right.
Did this story seem a little meta to you?
This story was very meta to me. This story landed for me. I mean, you know, I like Lobo and everything. And this just shows how much of a sleaze he is, like threatening life or death to his daughter's girlfriend, if she doesn't help him pick out a costume for a Halloween party, because he doesn't get invited to parties, and if he's going all out. So, I mean, Crush is still a pretty new character. I mean, she's just Lobo's child, and the interesting thing really about her is she's still alive. Lobo has killed any spawn, any regenerations of himself. He only allows there to be one. He kills him, you know, he kills himself, obliterates himself. Any offspring he's ever had, he's killed. So yeah, Crush is kind of like the only one who he hasn't. Not without trying. She has his heavy regeneration abilities.
But I'll get the end.
Should
we tell King Shark that he's not really fighting Aquaman? Nah. What my dad gets for trying to blow you up and all. He means well. Does he, though?
Right. And the circus peanut joke got me.
Yeah.
I thought it was really funny, though. You know, she tries to get him to dress up as Wolverine. We can see it's all there on the page. She's got three spoons in her fingers. His most famous character named after an animal who's also a superhero. I love how he does his musicals, though.
The Greatest Showman.
Yeah, his is not my fault. The Jack Man's most iconic roles are all crazy musical. Mm-hmm. So I love that he was made to be a fan of Hugh Jackman, and
who's not? I don't care who you are, you're a fan of Hugh Jackman.
Oh, for sure, yeah. He's done a lot.
He's more than just Wolverine.
Right. And then, yeah, absolutely, the meta joke of Lobo being Aquaman, how they look identical. I mean, if this wasn't, like, decided back when frickin' Jason Momoa came out and posted that video on his Instagram, all excited about leaving that meeting with James Gunn a year ago. Mm-hmm. If this ain't about the fact that that was like a heavily discussed and almost a go thing at the time, you know, like this could, unless they're really just like leaning into the news that's been that way for the last year, you know, Jason Momoa being Lobo and whatnot, but it was hysterical him being identified as Aquaman at the end.
And then the last story is a retired school nurse talking about how all the years, things that she couldn't, you know, teach, and how the kids have changed. When we see kids dressed up as Batman and Robin, they stopped dressing up as Slender Man or evil puppets or on tricycles or killer clowns. That says it all, doesn't it? And then she's walking and she thinks she sees Batman, but no, it's Man-Bat and Out of the Shadows. But what we find out is there's actually like a rat man wolf looking thingy that's attacking her, and Man-Bat's actually trying to save her. And during the battle, Man-Bat gets his leg ripped open, but he is able to, with her help, stab the other doctor, who turns back into a human. And then, you know, Man-Bat's actually able to talk, and she saves his life. And at the end of the thing, we see her took down all of the other clippings of Batman she had and hangs up the one that says, "Retired school nurse saves superhero." "She's the real hero," says Kirk Langstrom about Rose Costa after her tourniquet saved my life.
Yeah.
So it was a nice kind of cutesy story to end on.
It was. And I had said Batman, but yeah, it's a Man-Bat story. Like, Batman's not in it except for a news article. Yeah, it was good because, well, we've got Man-Bat who was with the Justice League Dark. So, like, he's been able to speak and be his scientist form in his Man-Bat body. So, I'm not sure if you've read much of the Justice League Dark over the last couple of years.
I mean, I have, but not any since... I haven't read any since New... Like, I read all the New 52 stuff, but I didn't read any after that.
Well, one of the last things I remember reading with the Justice League Dark was when they were doing, I think, the Witching Hour, and they were fighting Hecate, which is going to factor into our next bit of stories.
It's interesting you pronounce it like that, because I've always heard it as Hecate. Hecate.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I've only read it, so...
I've heard Hecate. I've heard Hecate. Until I hear like someone say this is the proper pronunciation, it's whatever.
Yeah, I don't know, Jamie. How do we spell that? Hold on. It's in the issue. Hecate.
Mm-hmm.
Hecate.
I've heard that. I think something like that. Hecate. I don't know. We'll look it up on YouTube.
She is a witch. Hecate.
Oh, she's prominent in mythology.
Yeah, that's. I know the name from that, but I've actually never heard anybody say it. I've only ever read it. So Hecate is what I've been saying. Hecate
is one.
That's way cooler, Hecate.
It is cooler. I mean,
I was reading Justice League Dark, and Wonder Woman was present, so maybe like the I don't know, the Mediterranean ishness of like the Greek and everything. Kind of that's what it just. That's how I read it, and that's how it came out.
So we are talking about Superman Silver Banshee number one. The Superman villainess known as the Silver Banshee takes center stage in a surprising two-issue miniseries. The Banshee has the chance she wanted for centuries, the opportunity to be freed from her cursed, ghostly existence. But the one person who can help her gain her freedom is part of a band of thieves marked for death by the Banshee's mistress, the sorcerer Hecate. And when Superman and Lois Lane get involved, things get awfully complicated. Written by Dan Brenton. Pencils by Joyce Chen. Released October 14th, 1998. Now, I discovered this book last year, searching for something, and it was like in November or something. And I made sure that I screenshotted this and marked this because I was like, a Halloween, because I was like, whoa, this looks cool. And the first page is Clark Kent sitting at his desk. This says Halloween in Metropolis. And there's a pumpkin jack-o'-lantern sitting on his desk. And I was like, holy crap. How did I not know this existed? But there's a Halloween story with Superman, like legit Halloween story.
Yeah.
But so what'd you think of the story overall?
Overall, I didn't think it was too bad. You know, it was interesting.
Part one. Let's go part one.
So okay. Like so bad. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know like a whole lot of the, history of Silver Banshee. I've gotten pieces here or there, from different mediums and different versions. So the fact that she in this resides in the underworld, the McDougals, cursed her. I like that she's able to, leave the underworld on Halloween night.
Makes sense.
Right. Makes sense. And is sent out to protect the only person who can free her of her curse. So she can leave the underworld. And then, you know, I saw Hecate show up and I was like, oh, that's cool, you know, because the only time I had read about this character is in the more recent Justice League Dark. So it's interesting to see her in an earlier works in DC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always good to see recurring characters like that.
Yeah,
when you ones you don't know that much about.
Yeah, when you forget, like, oh, this character has popped up before.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh snap, it did.
How she traps Silver Banshee.
She tricks Lois into coming there. And I love the art and the colors. Hecate looks crazily weird. It looks like she's gonna turn into like a gargoyle or like a villain from Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
I mean, she's definitely wearing a James approved outfit. I do think it's interesting when we see Superman, Clark, when he's in the, when he finds the dead corpse that tricks Lois. And he's like, if you look at him in the middle panel, he's undoing his shirt and it looks like he's wearing a black with a red S suit. But then when we find him, when he shows up to fight the Werepanther guy, it's classic Superman. But he finds, the woman, the Banshee's there. She's talking to.
Yeah, so she's. This is Lacey McElwain, who is supposed to be like the last remaining McDougal. Yeah. And she was part of these thieves. They called themselves the Trick or Treaters, and
they all wore masks. They were Halloween themed.
Yeah, and as they were stealing this Scottish pendant, and that's kind of how this all ties together. And Hecate turns them into like animal creatures, and her right hand person turns into that werepanther, which is really cool. You know, one of the things I really liked in the Hellboy reboot was the were jaguar. Yeah, I thought that was an awesome character, an awesome beast. Then we get Superman versus magic for a second.
I mean,
and Silver Banshee trying to protect Lacey as the monsters bust in. Track them down and bust in.
It was pretty neat.
Yeah. It's always, you know, it's interesting. You know, stories when you take, like, Superman, say, out of the natural element into this horror themed and all this magic going on around him, where he's not like, yeah, it's neat where he's not like necessarily the primary focus, especially to get the ball rolling, because he's not in that world. But when he gets pulled into that world, and I think he's pulled into the world pretty good in this issue, and it's in this story, and that's just by keeping an eye on Lois, because he was skeptical about the abandoned church she was being met.
I think what I like is, I like how we get this story, but the Silver Banshee is really not the villain. And, you know, he's getting attacked by some Lovecraftian looking monster here, some demon thing, and him and the Werepanther tied up in the host. The one that I had trouble with is, like, it seemed like sometimes the Banshee was not in the body, but then sometimes she was. And she's able to leave and be freed. But the girl had to die. And then basically she creates a new Silver Banshee because she bonds with her, and they decide to stay on this plane together.
Yeah. It's like she bonds with her to, like, protect her. Because, like, she, like Silver Banshee can't really be hurt. But through the magic, they're able to, hurt Lacey, as it were.
So we have a new Silver Banshee.
I mean, and this woman was dead as it is.
Yeah, and Silver Banshee, they said she was able to bring her back. And then at the end, you know, you have the two, the Banshee. She sees the Banshee, though, like a spirit that's with her.
Yeah, I wonder if she, like, after this, if she would be changing into the Banshee at some point. You know what I mean?
Right.
We got the interesting thing we got in the second one is Superman is being overpowered. He's under control of this demon, and he can't do anything to stop it. And since we were just focusing on the first issue, like, now that we're really in the second one too, like, the one thing I didn't know about Silver Banshee was if that she has to know the name of the person. To scream and kill him.
That's what I thought was interesting.
Yeah. So that was a curious thing. You know, because I do know that her scream is very deadly and she can kill people with it. How she killed all of the trick-or-treaters, but Thorpe, the Werepanther, because she didn't know the name, was left alive to continue the hunt.
It was good. It's definitely a nice, chilling tale. And it says, Lois says, Clark and Lois were talking. He says, I can still hear the revelers in the streets. They don't know how close they came. Lois promised me next year we can stay home and hand out candy. And she says, and miss all this fun.
Mm-hmm. So. She thinks what happened was stupid. She said, I know, stupidity. I should have listened to you back at the party. So she was kind of like regretting the decision of, you know, at least kind of going in blind.
Yeah.
But that's kind of a Lois Lane trait. You know, story comes first and she'll consider her safety second.
So, but that is our Superman Halloween story.
Well, that was a good find. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did.
Thank
too.
You. Thank you for pointing that out to me.
You're welcome. And then there's another one that I reviewed on my own that I found. It is Superman, the Monster, and it's basically the retelling of Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, but it's Superman as the monster and Lex Luthor as the creator. If you are if you are a fan of Frankenstein, I highly recommend it.
What's it?
Ryan hadn't even read it. It's on the app.
Superman Monster?
Yeah. So I highly recommend check that out. And happy Halloween, everybody. And remember,
look up in the sky.
We just want to say, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please check out other podcasts on the Press Play Podcast Network.
If you are like Tyler and James and can't get enough Super Talk, check out these other podcasts. Digging for Kryptonite, Supergirl Radio, The Last Sons of Krypton, The Superboy Legacy Podcast, All-Star Superfans, Superman the Animated Podcast, The Aspiring Kryptonians, Always Hold On to Smallville, The Geek of Steel, and Truth, Justice, and Hope.
Remember to check out Krypton Report on all social media platforms. Go to linktree.com/KryptonReport. You find all of our information.